We have another lengthy gospel this evening, and there are many details in it. There's one that I want to highlight, and it kind of pervades the whole gospel. It characterizes the whole reading, and that is throughout this passage, there is this lack of joy. There seems to be no joy at all in this passage, and yet the central character, you might say the central event, the driving point of the whole passage, is that a man was blind, and that man can now see. As he said, as the man born blind said, I was born blind, and now I see. We also hear that he is of age of majority, so he must be 18, he must be 20 or older. So we're talking about a fellow who was blind for many years, from being a baby, child, teenager, now he's adult for a couple years. So for 20 or more years, this poor man has been blind. Imagine if someone in our midst here, born blind, and then is cured of their blindness. I'd imagine we would have a party for that person. We'd be celebrating. We'd be so happy. We would just be filled with joy. And yet, we see in this passage, there's no joy, but instead, it's treated like it's not really a big deal. They talk about this guy. Some say, well, actually, it did even happen to him. He looks like the fellow who's blind, but he's actually someone different. But others say, no, he is the fellow who is blind, but they don't seem to be happy about that. In fact, they treat it more like a problem they don't really want to discuss, a problem they like to just forget about and just push him aside. The reason why it was a problem for them is because the miracle, the fact that this man is no longer blind, this man has his sight, it was done by Jesus. That's why it's a problem, and that actually is why there's no joy in this passage. And so while I said this passage is overshadowed by its lack of joy, this pervasive lack of joy, it's because it was done by Jesus. And we hear in the passage that the Pharisees had ruled that Jesus was not of God because he did his miracles on the Sabbath. He was competition for the Pharisees. He was not of them. He had not gone to the schools they'd gone to. So they had declared that anyone who acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, anyone who followed Jesus, was going to be expelled from the synagogue. They had made Jesus basically a persona non grata, someone that was supposed to be ignored, and whatever he did was to be ignored. And yet the glaring reality in this passage is that Jesus had given that man his sight. He gave this man born blind sight that he never had. Not in this gospel of John, but in another gospel, Jesus is called a sign of contradiction. And we can see where Jesus is that in today's gospel. Jesus a contradiction because he's so attractive, so wonderful, does such great things, and yet as a sign of contradiction, Jesus is rejected. He's rejected. That really is the bottom line for this gospel. While Jesus did great things, giving this man his sight, Jesus is rejected. And so then and now and throughout history, there has been a cost of following Jesus, a cost of being his disciple. We can see in today's gospel, people would have to go against the trend, the condemnation of the religious authorities, go against that trend in order to be Jesus' follower. We can see that during Lent, we have to go against the trend of our human inclinations. We're doing penance. We're giving up certain foods. We're not eating certain foods. We're doing extra prayers. All these things go contrary to what our natural inclinations would be. We have to go against the grain, or just in general, following Jesus, being known as a Christian, being known as a Catholic. Sometimes people can look at us kind of smugly and thinking, do you really believe all those different things? They can look at us and wonder, perhaps we're simple, we're not aware that there's freedom, that we can do what we want. We're willing to submit ourselves to laws, things from God. And so we're looked down upon. And so then there is a cost of discipleship. But then and now, there's also the joy of discipleship. We can see the joy of this man in having his eyes, being able to see. We can think of ourselves as following Jesus as his disciples, having the forgiveness of our sins from Jesus, having peace, a peace that nothing in this world can give. And lastly, Jesus offers to us the resurrection and eternal life, something promised to his followers. So while there is a price, that he is a contradiction that we have to go against, to grasp, to embrace, there also is a blessing. There is that joy of the discipleship. While speaking about joy, I want to point out the reason why Deacon Kong are using the rose color today is because during Lent, it is a time where we're subdued, we're kind of sad as we're doing penance, we're thinking about Jesus in the desert, Jesus carrying the cross. That's why we have the purple color. Today, the color is rose. Although as you look at me, you're probably thinking, no, that's pink, Father Donahue. But we have a brighter, happier color to remind us that while Jesus has gone through these things, he has gone through them and he's conquered. So he's been in the desert. He's been on the cross. He's died, buried in the tomb, but he's risen. And so we are remembering these different things. We're embracing these different things, but also realizing he's overcome these different things. He has conquered, and that's the reason for our bright color on this day. So as we see the joylessness of our gospel, it's a chance for us to embrace the joy of being his disciples, the joy of discipleship. One person who did that in a very powerful and beautiful way is St. Francis of Assisi. And it turns out that just a few months ago, in January, Pope Leo declared this year of 2026 the year of St. Francis. And the reason why he did that is because 800 years ago this year, St. Francis of Assisi died. So this is his 800th anniversary. And so the Pope has declared this year in honor of St. Francis. And the Pope has certain desires for all of us, namely that we would follow the example of the saint of Assisi, and with him we may himself become a model of holiness and life, holiness of life, and a constant witness of peace. So during this year, the Church wants us to know St. Francis of Assisi better and be a witness for peace as he was. And so then our parish is going to be having various activities so we can know him better and honor him and celebrate this important Jubilee year. This flyer that I have in my hand is in the bulletin, so I encourage you, make sure you take a bulletin today to see this flyer. One side English, the other side is in Spanish. It has a listing of the events that we've got planned so far. We may add a few more. It also mentions something in here that's significant for our Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist, the sisters who live here at St. Philip Parish. And those are the 10 steps of conversion which they see in the life of St. Francis of Assisi, something that they study and follow very carefully. I had not known about this until this year of St. Francis. I was speaking with the sisters about this, and they told me about it. And I thought, since there's these 10 steps, what we can do is for the remaining months of this year, each month we'll focus on one of these steps. I'll talk about one of these steps. And that way we can enter into the life of St. Francis, the various conversions he experienced, which are really meant for everyone to experience. And so I wrote about this in today's bulletin, and the step of conversion for St. Francis for this month is called dispossession. And I think it's one that may be widely known by a lot of us, and that is how St. Francis went from living with his father, being involved as a merchant, selling different things, to saying, I won't be doing that anymore, basically dispossessing myself of all I have, and I'm now going to follow Christ. I'm going to be poor like Jesus was poor. And that's when he put on a very coarse, rough garment, brown garment, and he took a piece of chalk and made a cross on it, and that became his habit. Actually, that is the habit for most Franciscans. If you look at our Franciscan sisters, you will see that they wear a brown habit, brown dresses, along with wearing a cross around their neck, to follow St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of their order. And so then, I've written about this in the bulletin, so make sure you take the bulletin, see the flyer, and in particular, I want to invite everyone to our Eat, Drink, and Be Catholic event next Sunday evening on March 22nd, because at that point, Father Briggs will be back with us. He's been on retreat and on pilgrimage. The pilgrimage was in Poland, but his retreat actually was in Assisi. He went to Assisi, and he was able to see the remains of St. Francis of Assisi and pray before them. So he'll be at our Eat, Drink, and Be Catholic potluck meal next Sunday evening. We're all invited to it, and he'll speak some about his experiences of being in front of his remains and praying to St. Francis of Assisi for his intercession. So I think that'll be a very interesting thing. I hope you can all come to that. Also, please be aware that each month we'll be writing about these 10 steps of conversion, and we can actually follow in the life of St. Francis, because these steps of conversion are based upon his life, things we can apply to our own lives to be working on our conversion. Which brings us back to our gospel. We see St. Francis as a saint of joy, but also a saint of contradiction. So oftentimes we think that if we have a lot of things, we'll be happy. There's a man who gave up everything he had, and he was fairly well-to-do. He gave it all up, and he was even happier. And so St. Francis, a saint of contradiction, like Jesus was a sign of contradiction. Our gospel, sadly, as I mentioned, characterized by joylessness. And that joylessness can be ours. We can be without joy if we decide to forgo Jesus, decide not to engage with him, not to follow him. But on the other hand, if we do embrace him, then true joy is possible as a follower of Christ. In the hard times, like perhaps right now during Lent, and in the good times, but Jesus will give to us a joy that nothing in this world can offer. Amen.